You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon. I hope you are keeping it cool out there. Please check on your friends and family members that might be a little bit more susceptible to heat-related illnesses, those sorts of things. Check in on people because it's about every one of us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, we are saving democracy one reform idea at a time. Big thanks to our last guests, both of the Campaign Legal Center, Elizabeth Shimmick and Kedrick Payne. We're going to have them back. I think we now have stumbled upon what we're going to be doing for reform on this network, on this show, which is pick a particular reform or pick a particular problem and then just do a deep dive on that, give people some action steps, and let's go fix this damn thing because I'm sick of it. I know he is too. My co-host this afternoon is Nick Ramos. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We welcome Professor Michael Wagner of the University of Wisconsin Madison. He is the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Yeah, give me some of that, some civic renewal. And we are also joined by Christy McGivelray. She's the executive director of Voters, Not Politicians. And she knows how Michigan has fixed some of these problems. But in the secret show before the show that you can find on YouTube, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, and Instagram, we were having a little chit-chat about crypto and some of your thoughts. Christy, jump right on in. Water's warm.
Sure. And I just can't help myself because I really care about democracy more than anything else, which is saying a lot because there's a lot of stuff I care about. And crypto really gets to the heart of it. People think it's complicated. I'm going to say it's not. Pretend it's a multi-level marketing scheme, but it's money, right? So instead of me holding a dollar and you holding a dollar and both of us agreeing that we hold a dollar with crypto, if I hold a dollar, but I bought it 6 months ago before everyone started buying it, all of a sudden it costs more. It's worth more, right? It's literally a pyramid scheme, but a currency. And it's tied to all sorts of the shady stuff that you mentioned. What I was talking about right before we got on is the way that far right extremists are actually using it to fund themselves because it can't be traced and it's secret. And after Charlottesville, when there were literal Nazis marching through the streets, beating people up, a lot of different banking institutions refused to work with the people that were associated with that. They turned to crypto. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing amazing research on figuring out how these violent far-right extremists are leaning on cryptocurrencies in order to amass money to do very bad things. So everyone should go check it out. It's lame, to say the least.
It is so lame. Thanks so much. Again, we've got Christy McGivelray of Voters, Not Politicians, as well as Professor Michael Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Professor, let me ask you this. When you talk about trying to get people re-engaged with voting, with their government, with petitioning, with our right to referendum, which needs to get fixed in this state, direct democracy, what are some of the objections or things that you hear from regular people that's keeping them on the sidelines? And secondly, how do we fix those things?
I think there are a few things. One is the persistent, growing, and false belief that both sides are the same. And so a lot of people who don't participate say, a pox on both your houses, I don't want to participate, it doesn't make a difference. Both sides are the same, they're just as bad as each other, and it doesn't make a difference what I do. And that, I think, false belief is one thing that drives this. Another is how intense and sometimes scary political discussion and participation has become. And so in some of the surveys we do in Wisconsin, we've found that one of the biggest predictors of why people don't participate is that they are afraid that something might happen to them, whether that be actual physical violence or just, having people treat them in ways that are, you know, less than how humans treat each other or should treat each other when they're trying to engage in a civil or difficult debate. And so I think there's the I'm afraid to participate because of how it might feel or my own safety. And then there's the it doesn't make a difference anyway, I think are the two big things that are getting in the way.
You know, it occurs to me, and this is just a little anecdote. My mom's in her 80s. She had lunch the other day with a bunch of her grade school classmates. And she actually brought up what I do for a living and my opinions on a few things. And her, that particular group of former classmates is very, very conservative. She got a letter 2 days later from one of the women in that group that said, thanks, Shirley, for saying that. And what I refer to this as is permission structure, or telling people, no, you're not the only Democrat in Eau Claire County or Winnebago County. There are lots of you out there. And even if you don't consider yourself a Democrat and you're one of those people that says, I don't like the news, I'm over this. People, you have a voice, you are not alone, and there are avenues to engage. And I think some of these democracy reforms are the things that the vast majority of us agree about most of the time. If I can very briefly just follow up with you, Professor, what are some of the things that get people engaged, that bring people out, that people say, I might be a little bit nervous that my coworker might hate me, but I'm going to say what I need to say anyways?
Well, I think one is being asked. When political leaders seeking office, when people leading social movement groups ask people to help, ask people for their vote, ask people to participate, and provide them an avenue and a structure to do so, more people participate. So I think that that's part of it. I think that places that have healthier local news ecologies have higher participation. So when local news is covering local politics and saying it's not just the governor's race or the Senate race or the presidency that matters, but the local sheriff's race and other kinds of things that matter, that tends to bring people out to vote and participate a little bit more as well. And, you know, I think the willingness to talk to people who are different than you is a big one. In Wisconsin, a little bit more than 2/3 of us have stopped talking politics with somebody because we disagree. And about 20% of us have just cut somebody out of our lives altogether. And once you start cutting people out of your lives because of a political disagreement, it becomes a lot easier to avoid participating in lots of other kinds of aspects of civic life.
And Professor, you were brilliantly talking about like the voter apathy and even hesitancy that we've seen in Wisconsin and I imagine across the country. And we're starting to get it to the heart of, you know, more of this. Well, are there folks out there that are during this time of voter apathy and hesitancy starting to kind of, you know, reach a level where they want to be engaged? I mean, are you seeing, you know, in Wisconsin or across the country, you know, the opposite side of that paradigm? And what do you think is driving that right now?
I think that one of the things that we found in our surveys of the state and in our analyses of news coverage in the state and social media conversation in the state is that particular issues can really be inspiring for people to participate. But it is almost always when something major has been lost on that issue. So from the Democrats' perspective, losing the legal right to legal abortion, right, was one that generated a lot of political participation. Attitudes about, you know, how many decisions seem to be getting made at the federal level that violate democratic norms in many cases and our laws in other is something else that seems to be motivating people to participate. And so it's when it's an issue they care about, reproductive rights, democracy itself, and they see a threat to it that motivates participation. It's the same kind of motivation that spurred folks on the more religious right in the 70s, 80s, and 90s who wanted to change abortion policy, were on the minority side and the losing side legally of that in that era, and participated a ton and ended up getting what they wanted.
Mm. One of the things that you touched upon, Professor, is the importance of local news. We are actually tomorrow on this very program talking about news deserts and the fact that if you live in a news desert, guess what? Your average wages are lower. You have less retirement income. You take less vacation. You're more sick. You have less public education. I could go on and on and on. News deserts are the thing that deprive people of the natural on-ramp to engagement with government.
Well, mm-hmm. And think about, too, especially in some of these rural areas that we see, when you don't have the luxury of local news and you don't have the luxury of being able to get anything other than what is being fed to you in the community, it very much changes the way in which people act, their perspective, their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, big foundations. I mean, I know the Heritage Foundation's one of them. They've used social media and other tools to then feed news, and it creates not an educated electorate, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this on YouTube, go ahead, folks, and Google Sinclair Broadcasting Newsreaders, and it is literally a veritable screen of like 68 supposedly newscasters reading the exact same script. And I'm here to tell you, listen, every headline that's written, every article that is written, there are choices made, not just about what to cover, how to cover it, what headline runs. I mean, consider this. Beloved governor announces he will not seek third term, right? Or crazy commie left. I mean, right, you all get it.
Yeah.
Christy, let's turn to you. Sure. And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Christy McGivelray, the executive director of Voters Not Politicians. We've also got Professor Michael Wagner. He's the director for the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I've got a co-host, thank God, Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Christy, Michigan is doing relatively better than Wisconsin. Give folks, like, what's the good first step? What's the first reform that people should start asking their elected officials to institute?
Sure. Well, what we did in Michigan was actually go around our elected officials because they were not instituting the reforms, which actually remains the problem. So, and I want to be really clear. I've actually come on to Voters Not Politicians. I've been here for only 2 weeks. We took on gerrymandering. That's what we did. And I've joined this organization because now we're going to take on money in politics, which is why I started talking about crypto. Because we had some major structural reforms, more people voted, we got a more evenly split legislature, but unfortunately, the legalized bribery of campaign financing affects both parties. And a lot of stuff that we were really hoping for ground to a halt because of that. So we've got a bipartisan problem in Michigan that is truly actually the worst in the nation. I think it was in 2015, there was a report that came out, I want to say it was from Common Cause, that said that we were like ground zero for corruption. I could go on forever. But yes, so I think unrigging the rules of how we vote and how we draw districts, absolutely. But we have to tackle the money thing. And as you were talking about before we started talking, this money in politics thing is on steroids under Trump. It's just bananas.
It is just bananas. That other statistic, when you are in a news desert, guess what you also have? Way more corruption in your local government because there's nobody there writing about the stupid and corrupt things that the elected people are doing. Oh, here's the other thing. I'm going to try to sneak this in. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Jacob's very relieved.
Cliffhanger.
Thank you. Yeah, you're going to want to hear this when I come back. I'm going to layer up some data for you that draws the line from 1976 right into today. 50 years of legalized bribery and corruption in this country. It's hurting all of us. You're going to want to stay tuned. We got Michael, we got Christy, we got Nick, and you got me, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We continue fixing democracy on the other side. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about democracy reforms. Because I don't know about you. I think we deserve better. In fact, I know we deserve better. And there are things that all of us, regardless of which way we may lean, can do to create a more responsive government. Now, before the break, I teased out a particular data point and a timeline, 1976 to 2025. What happened in 1976 was the decision Buckley v. Vallejo. And Buckley v. Vallejo was the first time the Supreme Court of the United States articulated some version of money is speech. And it's only gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse since then, of course, culminating in 2009 Citizens United decision. Corporations aren't people and money isn't speech. Mm. We all know that. You don't need a law degree. or a black robe to figure that one out. And if money is speech and corporations are people, then regular folks that earn paychecks, and that's my divide. If you ever mm-hmm. earned a paycheck, if you have had to save for retirement or a house, if you have a boss, this is about you, right? Because those are the regular folks. And I even mean some of the, you know, the lawyers and the doctors that think they're the like top 1%. No. They're screwing you too, all up and down the income range. If you get a paycheck and you have a boss, I'm talking about you having a voice in government. All of us regular folks, if money and speech and corporations are people, we're whispering, and they have the best sound system ever created. It matters. And getting the money out of politics is something that we all agree on. So why aren't we seeing our institutions, our elected leaders, do just that? So here's the data overlay. Pick whatever metric is important to you. Literally, whatever it is. Real wage growth, GDP, I don't care. real wage growth, rates of insurance, educational attainment, infant mortality, maternal mortality. Pick your metric of thing that's important to you and plot it from 1976 forward. Mm-hmm. And I will guarantee you it has gotten worse. One of my favorite ones is rates of union membership and consolidation of industries that provide essential consumer goods. If corruption's legal, you would think, oh yeah, there'll be fewer unions, right? Fewer people in unions. Oh yeah, and you'd see way more consolidation and price gouging and all sorts of illegal collusion and anti-competitive behaviors that lock out small businesses. Anybody want to say the words like Walmart mm-hmm. and the attack on organized? I mean, anyways. Christy, you had something very interesting to say in the Hidden Show during our commercial break. Please share about what's going on in Michigan.
Sure. I think we were talking and I was saying that, you know, I've gone back and forth to Wisconsin. I've got family in Wisconsin. Obviously, Michigan's close to Wisconsin. Up in the UP, it's like closer than the Lower Peninsula. It's a whole thing. I actually think voters in Wisconsin are overall probably a little bit more progressive than Michiganders, but you're structurally locked into a system that's not representing the people. So you got to deal with that. In Michigan, we did. And that's maybe a different show, but we got redistricting reform. We got an independent citizens redistricting commission. Our districts are much more competitive. We massively expanded access to the ballot and different ways to vote. It's safe and secure. We also put in more protections for voters and protections against the tactics that folks use to try and deny the election. All of that was good. All of that was great. We still have a money in politics problem. So we had a Democratic trifecta we elected in 2022. I was actually working for a different organization at the time and pushing a lot of different legislation in our state legislature. It ended in total unmitigated disaster. I encourage anyone to Google lame duck Michigan and just view the carnage. It was absolutely brutal. And a lot of that got pinned on one particular lawmaker that decided to caucus with the Republican leader, and it was all this drama. No. Before all that happened, they passed their corporate tax breaks. And those corporate tax breaks are going to raise everyone's utility bills, and they are for the Silicon Valley billionaires that are building the AI that's destroying our federal government. That's what our Democratic trifecta prioritized instead of actually helping people at the end of our last session. So a huge part of the reason why I'm working for voters, not politicians now, is because we have to take on yet another structural reform. Things are not as great in Michigan as I think a lot of the national media tries to portray. Governor Whitmer has done some good things and she has done some bad things, and we have to talk about it. And she's done those bad things and everyone fell in line behind her because of money and politics. And we have to blow the whistle and we have to take it on. It is the single most corrupting influence in politics right now.
And every regular person is saying, of course it is.
Yeah, right? This isn't hard to understand.
No, and the thing is, we can do something about this. Again, while the Supreme Court took basically trying to regulate dark money off the table, the transparency element, that's what they pointed us to. So we can mandate disclosure. There's all kinds of reforms that are possible. Keith from Broadhead on the text line says this, Maggie, the only way this is going to change is by legislation, and that is never going to happen. Congress has no motivation to do it. They're making millions. It's the classic fox guarding the hen house. Respectfully, if that's true, Keith, then we all better just like pack it up and go on home. No. We can do something about this. Christy McGivelray of Voters Not Politicians, Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Professor Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at UW-Madison, having the conversations, being unafraid to call it out, and oh yeah, as Christy just did, holding your own side accountable fearlessly and relentlessly until we get the government that we deserve. When we come back, we continue to talk reforms on this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay with us, folks. All kinds of great ideas coming up next. Welcome and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day about democracy, making government work better for each and every one of us, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. We deserve better than what we've got right now, virtually on all levels. Now, those of you who have been listening to me for a while know that I talk about local government a lot. And the reason that I do is because local government is often the place of most natural connection for people. You can show up at a committee hearing. Lots of them have public comment periods. You can talk right to your elected official. They may knock on your door themselves at some point in time. And dissatisfaction or disengagement with local government, exacerbated by news deserts, often makes real true problems intractable, large, and frankly, disastrous for our families' health and safety. Professor Wagner, I wanted to start with you. During the break, we all started to talk about water quality problems and the role of local governments. We could probably do an entire show just on that. We could do another show on public utility commissions and how all of this is going to go on and energy demand. But Professor, I wanted to ask you, flesh this that out for people a little bit more. Draw those connections. How does lack of engagement translate into unsafe water and lead in the water?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it really touches upon a lot of the things we've been talking about so far in our conversation, starting with local news deserts, right? So places without local news, and local news is the most trusted source of information of people in the country, regardless of partisanship. And so when local news goes away, not only do all the things we've talked about happen, people also then start getting their information from extreme national sources. They don't replace it with other local stuff. They replace it with extreme national sources. There, they're told they cannot trust their local governments or any governments, and they start to, you know, also be told they can't trust others. So there's this issue of trust that stems from losing local news. There's also the regulatory, you know, problem that comes from losing local news. And there's the money issue, right? So if we want to just talk about one issue. A colleague of mine at UW-Madison named Manny Teodoro in the La Follette School wrote a book with some other colleagues about how as bottled water grew, trust in local government declined. How could that possibly be, and how could they be related? If people are starting to buy local water, or are starting to buy bottled water, sorry, now the place that they had previously solely relied upon for clean drinking water, their local government, is not the place they're relying on to get something they need every single day to literally live. And as this kind of weird juxtaposition starts to happen, people start to trust their local government less because they see it doing less things that they need. And as many people, especially the well-heeled and the well-off, start to find replacements for needing city services like bottled water versus local, now the regulatory eyes aren't as sharp on the water. Now lead can get in the water. There's no local news. There's not reporting about the lead in the water. People don't know that it's happening. And if it is happening to people, it's happening to people who are less well-off, who are also the people who are less likely to participate. And so it's this vicious circle that is connected by information, our ability to participate, our economic resources, the trust we have in each other and in our local government.
Beautifully said, folks. That's Professor Michael Wagner, Director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. I'll just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, the city of Milwaukee has excellent water.
Yes.
Right? We have one of the best water cleaning filtration systems in the world. People come from all over to study it. We have the Department of Freshwater Sciences at UWM, and we still have a lead problem.
Yeah.
So if we think about that circle, right, that the professor was describing, and I talk about this a lot on this program, each of us has an obligation to be humble in the face of very difficult policy choices and to therefore seek out information. Because, folks, the mega corporations and billionaires like Elon Musk, they want you uninformed. That's how they do it, right? They want no one to ever have any time off, because if you don't have any time off, you can't read any news and get informed. They want you working, 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 working. Again, topic for another show. We're also joined by Christy McGillivray. She's the executive director of Voters, Not Politicians. I've got Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Now is time for the solutioning. Christy, you get two solutions. What do you think Wisconsinites should be advocating for?
Democracy reform and all of the stuff that goes into that, right? So we've got redistricting, access to the ballot, everything else, and go after money in politics. We've done the democracy reform in Michigan. We haven't tackled money in politics, and we also still have lead in our water. So those are my two big ones. And I think that the news deserts that Dr. Wagner has identified are a huge part of that too. So I know you only told me two, but I had to point
okay.
out the news deserts.
You can, I was like, you can get an A+ for your extra credit work. That's excellent. Nick, put more meat on the bones for us about those things. What do you think Wisconsinites should have at the top of their list for what we need to do to fix this?
Well, I mean, everyone spends so much time thinking about what's happening at the federal level. I mean, it's in front of us every day. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they're all talking about that. But I want people to think much more micro than that. Like, you were talking about the importance of local government. I'm going to talk about the importance of local activism, because I think at this moment, folks feel powerless. People think that, like, you know, this money in politics issue, you know, it's this gargantuan behemoth in a movie that you've seen a million times. So why would you bother getting up and trying to do anything? Because it's an issue that, like, how can I, Joe Schmo, be able to do anything real about it? But at the local level, we're seeing, I mean, I get to travel the state. We're seeing people that are just standing up for the issues that make sense to them. And they are realizing that in these communities that they're not alone, and that we have real opportunities and real agency, that if the politicians are not listening, we have to remember that the prisoners outweigh the actual warden and the people that are holding us hostage. So you have to understand that we have a voice that can sing and all different types of falsettos if we're united. And so local activism, 100%. And then, you know, we can't move until we have some real movement when it comes to not just the money, not just the redistricting, but we need to do some, when we're talking about democracy reform, it means that we need to be looking at even those minute issues that keep people out and away from the table. So, like, it might not be an issue that necessarily plays to you specifically, but I bet you, you know, there's somebody in your life that's impacted by it. So you take the time to really lean in and think about, what are these things? Because if it's not you right now, guess what? Down the road, it might be you. And there might not be people there to support you when you are the one in the crosshairs. And so local activism, local activism, local activism. We have so much agency and so much autonomy, and we can use it. We should not be afraid to be able to speak up. And in these times right now, when these folks are trying to look down on us and tell us that we are powerless, guess what? They need us. The mega wealthy and the politicians, if they don't have us, they have no one to sell their products to. They have no one to be able to actually, shepherd in as sheep like they think that we are. We're not sheep.
Yeah, don't be a sheep. 75% of GDP growth is driven by consumer demand. Guess what billionaires don't do? And this sort of runs contrary to what a lot of, you can't, like, what's your 100th yacht worth? They end up they don't consume much. We, working people, the people that get paychecks, were the consumer engine of this economy. There's around 250 million voting age Americans. One Joe Schmo can't stand up to Elon Musk, but 250 million of us can. Mm. And it starts in your local government. It starts with Nick. It starts with Christy. And it also starts with folks like Professor Wagner. Sir, I wanted to give you some time to articulate what you think are reforms that should be top of mind for all Wisconsinites.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion has been great so far, and I would pick up on the third one, I think, that Christie advocated for in terms of local media, and I would say that government subsidies for local news is a really potentially helpful reform. Local news is very widely trusted, essential to good governance, and essential to local and civic participation. And from the founding of our country, we've had government investment in the news to try and figure out ways to help the citizenry be informed, because you can't do anything of consequence unless you know what's verifiably true and communicate it to others. And so I think that's one thing that needs to be done. I think the other is probably a more forceful and full-throated redistricting reform. You know, a set of maps going through is one thing, but a process that ensures a fair process each time would be a better thing to helping to ensure more equal representation in Wisconsin.
Folks, that is Professor Michael Wagner, the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm going to throw my own two ideas out there. And the first one is everyone should be asking your elected leaders if you don't already have it, and in Wisconsin we don't, in Michigan they've got it, Minnesota and Illinois, all of our neighbor states have this. If they have signed on and pledged support for the national popular vote interstate compact, why in goodness gracious do some Americans' votes for president not matter at all? Wow. That's not democracy. The national popular vote compact, pretty simple. Your state amends or legislates in whatever way it may have to pledge all of its electoral college votes for whomever wins the national popular vote. It ain't complicated. It's pretty gosh darn easy. And that doesn't require a constitutional amendment. It just requires your local and state governments to do what they damn well should.
Michigan didn't enact.
They didn't do it.
No, that's one of the things that died in lame duck. That's one of the things.
That's insane.
I know.
Shame on you, Governor Whitmer. Not just for standing in the Oval Office awkwardly, which is just bad luck, but for that. And right now, I really, truly believe that there is an opportunity to use the nascent cryptocurrency, which I think regular people are grossed out by, and the discussion about that, to reopen and reinvigorate a discussion about money and politics specifically. And this is the one reform. One of our earlier guests mentioned it. Ban elected officials from being able to own stock indirectly or directly. Oh, and yeah, presidents and vice presidents and governors too, if they are able to regulate that particular company or industry. All right, I'll give you a third one, too. This is system reform, and it is doable. Dear Supreme Court, here are your binding ethics rules. Okay, I'll give you one more. We're going to actually strengthen and beef up and clarify federal and state civil and criminal corruption laws. Wow. We can do better than this. It is not undoable. There's 250 million of us. We got this. Come on, Wisconsin. Come on, America. Big thanks to Christy McGivelray of Voters Not Politicians. And also big, big thanks to Professor Michael Wagner, director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Nick Ramos sticks around. He and I give you our final thoughts on how do we fix this for all of us, every single one of us, when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's the democracy, stupid. Like, remember that? It's the economy, stupid. It's the democracy. It's not working for us right now. Folks, welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my friend, co-host, fellow rabble-rouser, hey. Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's their executive director, sticking around with me. When you look at the last 50 odd years. Again, I think so much of this comes back to the Supreme Court condoning corruption. I mean, they wrote a decision this term that basically went like, oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Bribing local government or state government officials, that's fine. Just give them the money afterwards and call it a tip. Then you're good to go. The federal corruption laws can't touch you. That's stupid. That is insane. And so one of the other things we have to be talking about are these Article III judges, especially the ones on the Supreme Court. The court can and likely should be expanded. The Supreme Court should have binding ethics rules, and they should have term limits, and they should be rotating term, like, so they're all staggered, yep. Right? And hey, if you're like, oh, that's great, maybe Trump will do it. No, and I wouldn't say this if it was Biden. You don't have to pack the court, okay? Which, because we only have the two frickin' political parties, would alienate 80 million people in this country. You can actually legislate how you would do this and try to do it over a whole number of years. You could spread it out where one justice is added like every 10 years. So it can be more fair. Nick, we've talked about a lot of different subjects. And you called out local activism. And I want to thank you for what you do. For folks that are looking to get into the action and who might find themselves thinking, well, I don't agree with all those things that those lefty progressives have to say. Like, where's the foothold? Where's the place for someone to start getting involved, organizing in their community? If they look at both of the political parties and they go, these aren't my people. I've got a mix of beliefs.
Yeah.
Where should they go? What should those folks be doing? What should we be asking people that are generally displeased? How should they be engaging?
Well, I mean, it's a fascinating question because at the end of the day, people, I'm trying to remember who earlier brought this up, but people on either side of the aisle right now think the system does not work for them. And you have opportunities then, if you are either jaded or think that the system really is rigged against you, to look to some of the nonpartisan, nonprofit organizations that are mission-driven and are delivering on very specific issues that play a tune that you like the sound of. And like right now, you know, in Wisconsin, we know that there's a 5-year window between now and 2030 when the next census happens. And we've talked about redistricting a bit. And across the state right now, through the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, where the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is a fiscal agent over it, and we have been in partnership with a lot of reputable, credible organizations that are not here to tell you how to vote, not here to tell you what to think, but to just share with you what issues are on the table and that you have an opportunity as Maggie or as Nick to be able to have your voice heard and be able to actually raise the house and be able to make sure that people know that this issue is something that's not going away. And through the redistricting issue, like until we have a process in place where fair maps are going to be the norm, instead of politicians being able to put their thumb on the scales, we're going to see the continuous just, you know, when the Democrats have power, guess what? They're going to do all different types of things. They're going to be advantageous to Democrats, and they're going to leave a bunch of people out that are sitting here being like, well, shouldn't I get an opportunity to say something? And on the opposite side of that coin, the Republicans doing the same thing, Democrats, it creates this level of resentment.
Yeah.
And I think in this moment right now, we should be thinking about if the shoe were on the other foot, what is fair? And if we can decide that together and have those kinds of conversations, you have an opportunity right now. There's going to be Fair Maps tours across the state that are underway right now to talk about the fixes. And we're talking about legislation and then a constitutional amendment so that we can rid ourselves of this cancer that gerrymandering has caused for years in the state, where people show up and they say, you know what, why should I even care? Or when it comes to the money, we're talking about big reform with money, because I don't know about you, Maggie, but I don't have $100,000 or $1 million underneath my mattress right now that I can just contribute to whatever politician and curry favor with them. We all deserve to be able to sit up And we say, if there's something that's not right, we shouldn't be batted away like a fly. We yeah. should be heard and told that, like, our opinions and our thoughts matter. And so we have a moment, whether it's redistricting, whether it's money in politics, whether it's collective bargaining, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, whether it's, you can plug in the issue. I promise you there's a nonpartisan nonprofit in this state right now that is focusing on that issue.
I'm going to build on that, folks. That's Nick Ramos, my special friend, my special friend and special guest co-host today. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm going to give myself and every single one of you a homework assignment. Here it is. And it's going to get us activated together. I want you to list the three most important things to you. And I'm talking about specific issue. Don't write down climate. Write down a specific thing about it. Whatever your issue is. If you're pro-life, go ahead. Write it down. And then I want you to go and find out challenging information from nonprofit, nonpartisan, cross-partisan sources and investigate the heck out of that issue. Understand where you think we should be. Look at the data. It's there for you. Because knowledge is power, and voters in this country have power. They want you to think otherwise, but we have it. We can do this. There's 250 million of us.
Amen.
Thank you, Nick. Hey. Thank you to each and every one of you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for democracy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.